Today's shiur is Masechta Yuma Daf Nun Zayin, and we will begin on Daf Nun Vav Amud Beis, 7 lines from the bottom. The Mishnah taught us v'hizu mimenu ala proiches keneged army b'chutz. As we learned, the dam from the par was sprinkled in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, achas lamala v'shev lamata, facing the area of the kapiris, the cover of the aron, and then similarly the dam hasoyer was sprinkled achas lamala v'shev lamata in the Kodesh Kedoshim keneged kapiris. And then the Mishnah tells us that the same was done outside in the Kodesh, 1 and 7 keneged haproiches of the dam apar, and the simile of the dam hasor. Says the Gemara, how do we know that that was done? Tanu Rabbanan, the pasuk says, "V'chein yasal oyel moed," so should be done to the moed. Is the question matam alone? What's the pasuk teaching us? Like the Mefarshim say, the word yasa is somewhat superfluous. It could have just said v'chein loyel moed. Even if a word is going to be used, we should have said v'chein yaza boyel moed. What is the terminology? Yasa teaches us the brisa that the pasuk is teaching us, kishem shemazel lefnei lefnim, the same way hazor is done in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, kach mazel beheichel, similarly should be done in the heichel. Ma lefnei lefnim, just like in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there was achas lamal v'sham v'lamat midam apar, kach mazel beheichel, the same thing should be done in the heichel with the dam apar. Ukshem shelefnei lefnim, achas lamal v'sham v'lamat midam hasor, kach mazel beheichel. And the Mefarshim says step further, that not only should the dam be sprinkled in the Kodesh, on the Proichus, on that curtain, separating the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but which spot on the curtain should the Hazor take place on? The spot that corresponds to where the Orin and the Kapiris is on the other side of the curtain. The Gemara quotes this Brisa, and the Brisa seems to go off for a moment to a different subject, interesting subject, in Yana Diyoyma. The pasuk says regarding the Shechina, Hashoychen itam b'toich tumosam, that the Shechina is with Klal Yisrael even when they're not worthy. Says the Gemara, Afilu b'shah shein t'meim, even when Klal Yisrael is impure, so to speak, Shechina imam, the Shechina is with us. Amalei ahut stoike l'Rav Chanina. So it was the stoike that said to Rav Chanina, Hashta bori t'meim atam. Klal Yisrael is certainly in a category of tumah. The ksiv, as the pasuk says, tumasa b'shuleha, a pasuk in Eicha. The Klal Yisrael are compared to tamei nida, a woman who's flowing blood. And the Mefarshim say that even the goyim recognize that though Klal Yisrael is tamei, it's tumasa b'shuleha. It's a tumas nida, not a tumas meis. And a tumas nida is a much lower degree of tumah than a tumas meis, because a tumas nida, we know that the woman will get pure. A tumas meis, a meis, somebody dies, it's unfortunately forever. So he says, Klal Yisrael is tamei. Amalei, so Rav Chanina responded, Toch hazim aksibu. Let's see what it says about Klal Yisrael. Hashoichin itam b'toich tumasam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us even when we're tamei. Afil b'zman shein tameim, even when Klal Yisrael is tamei, Shechina shruya imehem. The Shechina is with us. And the Mefarshim explain that, Rav Tzadik explains it this way, what is the difference between a tumas nida and another tamei? A tumas nida, while a woman is tamei, she can't have intimate relations with her husband, but she could stay with her husband, b'yichud, they could live in their own home. Klal Yisrael, although they're tamei nida, we could still have a special relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in fact, the Gra explains it in a very nice way. He says there are two types of relationships. There's a relationship between an employer and an employee, and the relationship between a father and a son. An employer and employee, if they don't get along and the situation gets very bad, so they separate, they go their separate ways. A father and a son, as bad as the relationship can become, a father will never let his son separate himself from himself completely. Klal Yisrael have a relationship of Banim Lamakim, where Kadosh Baruch Hu's children. So even if we're in a time of Churban, even if we're a time of Tumah, Eibishter still is our father and will never allow himself to completely separate himself from us. Farshim say, the Gemara many times says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Kayin. A Kayin is not allowed to be Tameh, but to his son, he is allowed to be Tameh. We are Banim Lamakim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our father, and we are his sons, and that relationship can never be completely severed. HaShaychen Itam B'Toich Tumasam. The Netziv explains the Gemara this way. He says that Klal Yisrael relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is shown in a number of ways. There's the Kodesh HaKadoshim, where the Aron was, which is the Luchos, which is Torah Shebiksav. That relationship, unfortunately, no longer exists. We don't have the Luchos, we don't have the Aron. There is the Azara, where the Mizbeach HaChitzin was, where most Kabbonis were offered. That also no longer exists. But the Olam Moed, he says, represents Torah Shebapeh. Torah Shebapeh, the relationship that could be forged and is forged between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael for learning Torah Shebaal Peh, that relationship will never be severed. So we began this year by saying that just like there was Hazor in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so too there was Hazor in the Kodesh. Because we have a Hekesh between the Hazor and the Kodesh and the Hazor and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. We've mentioned a number of times that there's a rule in Kachim, that Dovah Lomid Behekish, Eina Chayzim Alam Behekish. We don't learn a double Hekish. We learned the Gemara the other day on Daf Nun Hei that said, how do we know that in the Kodesh HaKadoshim there was Hazor of Achas Lamal and Shev Lamata of the Dama Par? And how do we know there was Achas Lamal and Shev Lamata of the Dama Sawyer? Because we learned a Hekish. So now, asked the Gemara, we're faced with a situation of a double Hekesh. First we learned the Halach and the Kodesh HaKadoshim through a Hekesh, and now we're going a step further, learning the Halach and the Kodesh through a Hekesh. But we know that in Kachin we don't learn a double Hekesh. Asked the Gemara, B'chidover HaLomid BeHekesh is something that is learned once with a Hekesh. Choyzim Alam BeHekesh, can we learn a double Hekesh? Answers the Gemara, Hai Himenu V'dover Achahu V'loy Hava Hekesh. The Hekesh in the Kodesh HaKadoshim is not a pure Hekesh. Because as when we learned the Sugya and Daf Nun Hei, the halacha that there's one Hazor by the Sor Achas Lamala is explicit in the Pasuk. What did we need the Hekesh for? For the Sheva Lamata by the Sor. The halacha of Sheva Lamata by a Par is explicit. What did we need the Hekesh for? For the Achas Lamala by the Par. That's not called a pure Hekesh, because the Hekesh has also something that's explicit in the Pasuk. So that's why it's not considered a situation of a double Hekesh. Ask the Gemara, Hanich Leman the Omer, it's a Gemara Masech, the Zvachim, the Omer Lo have a Hekesh. That such a situation is not considered a Hekesh, so now I no longer have the issue that I'm faced with a double Hekesh. El Leman the Omer have a Hekesh, that a Hekesh that is supplemented with Psukim doesn't lose its status of being of a Hekesh. So now I'm faced with a situation of a double Hekesh. So back to where I started, Mayik Lameimer, answers the Gemara, Mekaymus Hu Degamiri Mahadodi. So the way Rashi explains this teretz is as follows. The first Hekesh is a Hekesh teaching us halakhos regarding Hazors. How many Hazors should be Lamala of each type of the Dama Par and the Dama Sor? How many Hazors should be Lamata of the Dama Par and Dama Sor? The second Hekesh isn't a Hekesh regarding Hazos, it's a Hekesh regarding places. The Torah is comparing the Kodesh to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So they're considered two separate issues. When do we say that we don't learn a double Hekesh? When the double Hekesh teaches us the exact same thing. Here it's not teaching us the same thing, it's not considered a double Hekesh. Yibayi Seima, and like the Mefarshim explained, the Yibayi Seima is not satisfied with his Teretz. Why? Because at the end of the day, the Hekesh is we're learning with a Hekesh the exact same din. That you have Achas Lamal and Shev Lamata, both by Par and by Sar, both by Kodesh HaKadoshim and by Kodesh. So what's the difference how you get there? It's a double Hekesh. So therefore the Gemara says, Chutz Bifnim B'chad Zim Negomer. There's a lot of ways of explaining this Teretz. This is the way we will try to explain it. The Halacha that does Achas Lamal B'Sar in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that's an explicit Pasuk. I don't need a hekesh for that. The Torah says it explicitly. So then when I compare that din to the kodesh, it's only one hekesh. The halach of sheva lamata by a par, it's not a hekesh, it's an explicit pasuk. So I learned that from the kodesh HaKadoshim. So I'm not relying on any hekesh. I'm just learning the two halachas separately. And each halacha I'm learning from the explicit pasuk, so we're not faced with a situation of a double hekesh. What's the nafkamina? Like the Mefarshim explained, according to the second teretz, if I didn't have this situation that I had some parts of the din in explicit pasuk, we would have a situation of a double hekesh. According to the first teretz, that we're not faced with a situation of a double hekesh at all. Continues the Gemara in teaching and describing the hazor in the kodesh kineged haproiches. Says the Brayis Tana, kshumaza ena maza al haproiches, when he does the hazor, he doesn't do it on the proiches, el kineged haproiches. It should aim towards the proiches, but not actually touch the proiches. Amr Belazar, Reb Yossi, ani rasiya b'roimi, I saw the proiches in Rome, v'hoya le kama tipe domim, and there were actual blood on the proiches, shapav v'sosh yom kippurim. So it actually touched. And it's interesting, this is a Gemara Masechta Me'ilah. The Gemara Masechta Me'ilah says that the Caesar's daughter was ill, and Rebbe Eliezer came and he cured her, and as a reward, the emperor allowed him to enter the treasures of Rome and see the proiches. Because Rebbe Kiva Eger, in the Gilyan Ashas, quotes an Ovest Reb Nosson that says there were five items from the Beis HaMikdash that are in Rome. Mechteshesh Beis Aftinas, the grinder that the Beis Aftinas used to make the Ktiris, the Shulchan, the Menorah, the Proiches, Vetzitz, and the Gilyan Ashas, the Ovest Reb Nosson ends, Vadayin Menachem Beroimi. They're still there. So, according to Reb Elazar, they actually touched. According to the Tanna Kamma, they didn't touch. Ask the Gemara, the Dilma, who says that the blood that was on the proiches is the blood of Yom Kippur? The Dilma, Parhelm Dovash Otzibur, Vafsiava de Zora Hava, the Chaza. No, Havu, I'm sorry. The question is, we know that halacha is that if the Sanhedrin makes an incorrect psak, and most of Klai Yisrael doesn't have very based on that, they have to bring a Parhelm Dovash Otzibur. By, if that happened by the Avodah Zarah, they would have to bring Sira Avodah Zarah. Those Kabbonis Achatas Pnimius that also have to be sprinkled towards the Proiches. So ask the Gemara, yes, there was Dam on the Proiches, but maybe the Dam was from those Kabbonis, not from the Yom Kippur Kabbonis. And it says the Gemara, the Chaz Davidic Sidron, they were made in the order, Kamatzlif, like we learned the other day, Achs Lamal of Shev Lamata, which is a halacha only by the Kabbonis of Yom Kippur, not by the Kabbonis of Parham Davish Otzibur and Sira Avodah Zarah. So that was definitive proof that it should, that it was Yom Kippur. Now there's a question. According to Rabbanan, you're not supposed to make Hazar that it should hit the Proiches. So the first question, that's a big machlokes in the Rishonim, when the Chacham hold that it's not supposed to hit the Proiches, does it mean that if it hits the proiches, it's disqualified? Or does it mean it's not supposed to, you're not supposed to make it hit, but if it hits, it's not disqualified? Most Rishonim learn that it doesn't get disqualified if it touches. Now there's another question. According to Rabbanan, it's not supposed to hit. According to Rabbi Lezer, it's supposed to hit. So, Rabbi Lezer is saying that he saw all this blood. So, what's going on here? According to Rabbanan, is Rabbi Lezer saying something which is not true? So the Rabbanan are going to have to learn that although, the way we just explained, it works well, that although it's not supposed to hit, it sometimes did, and the blood Rabbi Elazar saw were from those inadvertent touching of the dam on the proiches. Why does Rabbi Elazar agree? Maybe it was just inadvertent. So there's a few answers. First of all, the fact that it was in a perfect order seems to lead to believe that it wasn't just haphazard. And the Tosfos Yeshanim says, Kahanim's reason hain. The Kahanim, if it wasn't supposed to touch the proiches, like the Evan Ozel explains the Tosfos Yeshanim, if it's not supposed to touch the Proichus, the Kahanim certainly would have tried to be careful that it shouldn't touch and not make the Proichus dirty. So it wasn't just by accident, says Rabbi Elazar, that it touched. It must have been that it's supposed to touch. Towards one in an upward direction and one in a downward direction. It's not a direction, it's not an area, it's a direction. We learned with the hand, how the hand is supposed to be faced, once with the hand like this, and the other times like this. V'tnan nami, says the Gemara, we had a similar Gemara regarding the Paralam Dovah Shatzibur Kai Gavna. Kshumaza loya nagum, they weren't supposed to touch the Proichus, v'nagu. But if they touched, it's okay. Amar v'lezer Rabbi Yosi, ani receive roim, I saw the Proichus, v'chayala kamatip adam shal Paralam Dovah Shatzibur, v'fayda v'siray v'adazar. Ask them the same question. What is your conclusive proof that it was that dam? The Dilma, the power of Sosh Yom Kippurim, Ninu. Maybe it was the power of Yom Kippur. How do you know it was the power of Param Dovash Atzibur? So he says, the Chazinu Davidish like a Sidrin. He saw that that dam wasn't in order. The dam of Yom Kippur is in order. If this dam wasn't in order, it must be because it's from the Param Dovash Atzibur. Now, the Mefarshim make a very interesting point. There's a very fundamental difference the way the Rabbanan express their position regarding the Parhelm Dovish at Sibur and the way they express their position regarding Parhelm Kippur. By the Parhelm Dovish at Sibur, they add three words. V'mnagu nagu. That means if it does, it's not supposed to touch, but if it hits, it's fine. They didn't use those words by the power of Yom Kippur. So that should seem to indicate that only by the Parhelm Dovish of Tzibru do the Rabbanan hold that it's not supposed to hit, but if it hits, it's acceptable. Whereas by the Parhelm Kippur, if it hits, it becomes disqualified. Because otherwise, the Rabbanan should have used the same terminology, Imnagu Nagu, both times. So we said that that's really a machlekes. So how will the Rishonim that say that even by Parhelm Kippurim, if it touches, doesn't become disqualified, explain this discrepancy? So they explain very nicely. We're going to learn a Gemara that the halacha is that by the Parhelm Kippur, the Kohen stood quite close to the Proichus. By the Parhelm Dovah Shel Tzibur, the Kohen stood pretty far away. So what the Rabbanan are telling us, certainly by the Parhelm Kippur, it's very likely that they don't want it to touch, but it's going to touch. Because it's hard to go anywhere else. They're so close. But by the Parhelm Dovah Shel Tzibur, where the Kohen could easily be careful that it shouldn't touch. Why? Because he's standing so far away. Still, the Nagu Nagu, if they touched, it's not disqualified. So it's not definitive proof that the Rabbanan disagree, and the Rabbanan will always hold it's not supposed to touch. The Nagu Nagu, if it does touch, it's acceptable. Continues the Gemara. Nis'avu lo domim medomim. It's important to review for a moment the Seder Hayoim. The Kohen Gadol shechs the par. He then puts it down and has somebody mixing it soon kajil. He then does the avoid of the Ktiris. Then he takes the par blood that he already has prepared and does the achas lamal of a shevel amat in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Then he goes and he shechs the Sawyer and does achas lamal of shevel amat of the Sawyer in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. What happens, asked the Gemara, if nis'av lo dam bedamim, the pan of blood of the sawyer and the pan of blood of the power get mixed up. And now you only have one pan. What do you do? So the way Rashi explains the Gemara, this happened before he did any zrikas in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Tosfos Yeshanim disagrees with Rashi, because he says that Ula taught us, and we'll learn Ula again in this Perek of Mitzvah Shem, that if one does the shechita of the sawyer before the zrika of the dam of par, it's all disqualified. So how is it possible that it should get mixed up? There is no dam ha-sawyer yet. You didn't do the shechita even. So that's why the Tosfos Yeshanim explains that the Gemara here is not referring that they got mixed up before you did the zrika in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Gemara here is referring to a situation where they got mixed up before they did the zrika in the Kodesh. The Kodesh HaKadoshim was done properly. In the Kodesh, that's when they got mixed up. Rashi will have to learn that our Gemara is not learning like Ula. The our Gemara doesn't agree with Ula. So nisavoy dam bedamim. So now you have all this blood mixed together. What do you do? Amar Rava. So Rava says, nice and achas lamala v'sheva lamata. You do one time lamala, and do seven times lamata v'ayla lakana lakan, and it works for both. Why does it work for both? Because you have the blood of everything in there, and the way the nitziv in the Meremi Sod explains the Gemara, he says we know mitzvahs ain't tzrichs kavana. You don't have to have kavana to do a mitzvah. So when you do the achas lamala, and in the pan that you did the achas lamala from, there's dama par and dama soyer. So effectively, you had dama par and dama soyer lamala. And then when you do the sheva lamata from that pan that contains blood of par and soyer, you effectively did sheva lamata, par and soyer, and you accomplished what you had to. That's what Rava says. Amru kameh de Rav Yirmiyah, so they told over Rava's position to Rav Yirmiyah. Amar bavloi tipshoi. He said the bavloim are foolish people. Mishum the diary ba'ar de chashaycha, because they live in a country which is dark. Amri shmatzah de mechashkin. They say dark, foolish things. So there's a lot of ways of explaining this Gemara. One way of explaining it is that Bavel is a low-lying country. It's in a valley, and that's why it's dark. And that isn't. They say dark things. Another pshat is that what he was accusing the people of Bavel is when they don't know what to say, they make it up. They make it up as a go. But the Rambam has a very different approach to this Gemara. Because we know that we learn Talmud Bavli. And the Talmud Bavli is so great. So how is the Gemara saying that Bavel is Tipshoi? So the answer is, the Pasuk says in Eicha, B'mechashachim ha'shivani, and that refers to Bavel. Bavel, says the Rambam, had different times. There were times that Klai Yisrael had tzoris in Bavel, and then the learning, when a person is of tzoris, he can't learn properly. Then the learning was a weak learning. And that's when the time was Bavli Tapshoi. The Gemara says that Rab Zeira came from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, and he sat 100 Tanesim to forget his learning from Bavel, because the Torah of Eretz Yisrael is a better Torah. But when Klai Yisrael and Bavel weren't under persecution, they were able to create a Talmud Bavli. So he says, why does he say what he said, that what you said is incorrect? Because according to what you're doing, he says, Hakayov lamala the soyer, mikama mata the par. You end up doing the hazor of the dam of the soyer prior to doing the hazor of the dam of the par lamata. That Torah, the Torah taught us, v'chila mechaper es hakodesh, teaching us, kalei dam hapar, vacha kalei dam hasor. You have to complete all the avoid of the par, and only then approach doing the soyer. So Taisa says, why do I need this pasuk? We've been mentioning many times that the Torah uses the word chukah, and chukah teaches us that it has to be done in a specific order, so why do I need another pasuk? So Taisa answers, the word chukah only would teach us when it was completely done out of order. Here it wasn't completely done out of order. It was partially done out of order. The lamal of the par is being done after the lamal of the sor. But the lamal of the par is fine. That chukah wouldn't say is disqualified. That's why I need another pasuk. So according to Rabbi Yirmiyah, this doesn't work. What would work? El Rabbi Yirmiyah, what you do is nice and achs lamala v'shev lamata l'shem par. Take some of the blood. Do achs lamala v'shev lamata in name of the par. And then start again. V'chayz v'nice and achs lamala v'shev lamata l'shem asar. Going back to what we explained before, we said mitzvahs ain't tzrichas kavana. So how could it work that you should say I have a mind? Doesn't it happen automatically that if I have par and sar blood to mix together, it's automatic that I'm doing the tap? So the mefarshim, the rishonim, explain that since it's not yet the time to do the dama sawyer, because you're not supposed to do dama sawyer until you complete the dama par, so it can't be effective, because the Torah says until the time comes, it's not effective. Now there's one more shaila. At the end of the day, the person did hazor on more than he was supposed to. Because at the end of the day, it was dam hapar, dam hasoyer mixed together. And when he did the dam hapar, lamala, even though he had in mind only l'shem hapar, he had some dam hasoyer included. So why isn't there a problem about toysef? There's a pasuk in Parashas V'schanan, l'sasifun, you're not allowed to make add to the mitzvahs. So there are two answers. One answer is that Lois Sifan is only applicable in the time when the mitzvah could be done. What's the classical example? Somebody puts on tefillin. Tefillin has to have four boxes. Your tefillin has five boxes. That's lois sifim. But here, it's not the time to do the mitzvah, because it didn't come yet the time to do the damasor. It's like if somebody sat in a sukkah today, would that be called bal taisif? Of course not, because it's not the zman for the mitzvah. That's one answer. Another answer is that since he's doing it, not because he's doing more than he's supposed to, he's doing it because he has a problem, he has a suffix, that's not called bal taisif. And it's relevant to a shayla, la locha lemaisa. First of all, there are people that put on two pairs of tefillin, and Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. And some people put them on at the same time. So how come it's not a problem about Taisif? Because the person that's putting on two tefillin, one is kosher and one isn't. So it's not about Taisif. Similarly, let's say the Pesach Tshuva quotes a Chamudah Daniel. Ramosha speaks about this in the Tshuvas. Let's say somebody, it's difficult, that doesn't want to take off his mezuzah to check it. But he doesn't know if his mezuzah is kosher or not. So what he does is he'll put up another mezuzah. I'll put up another kosher mezuzah instead of taking off the mezuzah that exists there. That's bar taisif, because you're not supposed to have two mezuzahs on your door. But let's say a person has two mezuzahs, and one is kosher and one is not. But he doesn't know which one is the kosher one, which one is the not kosher one. And you can't tell, let's say the mezuzah was written shleika sidrin, not in the proper order. You can never tell that when you read the mezuzah. So he doesn't know which is the kosher mezuzah, which is the pasul mezuzah. Could he put up both mezuzahs? And like that, he can't go wrong. The halacha is he can. Because one is the mitzvah and one isn't. Here too, the damasor is not a mitzvah now. You're doing it, but you don't know which blood is and which blood isn't. That's not an issue about taisif. Now the Gemara has a similar shaila. This avalei dam b'damim matanas achronis. That means the damapar was sprinkled lamala properly. And before he could do the hazor of the damapar lamata, that got mixed up with the damasor. What do you do? Sovra papa made the Rav Lameima. Noisin shev lamat l'shem par l'shem sar. Now you have this mixture. Put them both back on to be both. The chayz v'noisin, but you never did lamal l'shem sar. Then you'll do achs lamal l'shem sar. Omle Rava. So Rava said, I hash to karl on tapshoy. Till now they labeled us fools. For hash to tapshoy to tapshoy. Now we're double fools. Why are we double fool? Because what's the definition of a big fool? The definition of a big fool is the kamagmirin levelegmiri. Not only doesn't he know, but after you teach him, he still doesn't listen. Here we told you that you're supposed to go in order. And here, what's he ending up doing? He's doing the shev lamata of the par before he did the achas lamala of the shev lamata of the sawyer before he did the achas lamala of the sawyer. V'har kayov matted the sawyer mikami mal the sawyer. You're doing the matter the saw before the mal the saw. And like we learned, the Torah says that what is the proper sequence? Tel malo v'akach lamata. So how could you be making such a fundamental error? Ella Amarava, what Rava says, you have this mixture. The achas lamal of the par worked perfectly. Now take from this mixture blood, do shev lamata l'shem par. Then do the chayz v'nachir saying achas l'malah v'shev l'matah l'shem sar. Period. Another situation. Nesav lo kaisis b'kaisis. He has two cups of blood. One is the blood of dama par, and one is the blood of the dama sawyer. But he doesn't remember which one is which. So he has these two cups, and he doesn't know which one is which. Which is the dama par, and which is the dama sawyer. The Rishonim ask that we just learned in the previous shir, that the Dhamma Par and the Dhamma Sar look different. So how could he make this mistake? So the simple answer is Chulsh the Kohen Gadol, like we explained in that shir. The Kohen Gadol in his state doesn't always recognize. Another teretz is a simple teretz. The Meiri says this. When we said that the Dhamma Par and Dhamma Sar look different, it didn't mean that the Dhamma Par is red and the Dhamma Sar is white. We're dealing with blood. Blood is always red. Just the Dhamma Sar and the Dhamma Par have different shades of red. So it's not that simple to tell the difference, and that's how he had this confusion. So he has here in front of him two cups of blood. One is the Dhamma Par, and one is the Dhamma Sar. He just doesn't know which one is which. So what should he do? Nisin v'chayz v'nisin, shorish pamim. What does that mean? He takes, let's say this is really the Dhamma Par, and this is really the Dhamma Sar, but he doesn't know. So he takes this and he does Achs L'mal of a Shevel Mat of this. Then he goes and does Achs L'mal of a Shevel Mat of this. So he ended up doing it right. But he doesn't know that. So what's the concern? The concern is that this is Par and this is Sar. So this is now number two, and then he'll do this again as number three. See, no matter how you figure it out, he always ended up doing Dama Par first and Dama Sar second. Next case. He has, the way Rashi explains the next case, the Rambam learns different, but we'll learn like Rashi. Nis'avalai mitzis damim, mitzis damim nis'avalai, or mitzis damim nis'avalai nis'avalai. That means part of the Dama Par and Dama Sar got mixed up, but some of it remained separate. So, says the Gemara, Pshita, it's obvious, Kiyor Mivadiyov. Certainly, if you have a cup that's problematic, and you have the other ones that are not problematic, you're not going to, we always try to avoid Shilas. So we take and we use the thing that's, the cups that are not problematic. That's not the Gemara Shilas. Mew, now the question is like this. There are two concepts that we have to familiarize ourselves. There's something called Shirayim, and there's something called Dochi. Shirayim, as the word means, means leftover. The halach is if we have dam in a cup, the simplest situation. If we have dam in a cup, and we have leftover dam in that cup, the halach is, it's a pasuk in the Torah, you have to pour those leftovers al yisoid ha-mizbeach, to the foundation of the mizbeach. If on the other hand, you have blood that became Dochi, disqualified or pushed away, that's the word Dochi means, that blood doesn't get poured al yisoid ha-mizbeach. So now the Gemara Shaila is this blood that's mixed up. I didn't use it for Hazar. Why enter into a Shaila? Is that blood considered Shirayim that you would have to pour it al Yisoid HaMizbeach? Or is that blood considered Dochui that is not poured al Yisoid HaMizbeach? That's the Gemara Shaila. Miu, Hanach, this blood that I didn't use, Shirayim Havu, is it considered Shirayim al Yisoid Azli and it's poured to the foundation of Mizbeach? Or Dilma Dochuin Havu, it's considered disqualified for Azul La'aman who went to that canal that took all of the Dechuyim outside the Beis HaMikdash. Omer Rapapa, says Rapapa, I feel a man Omer Kais Echad Oisech Veri Shrayim. That means, if somebody was being Makabal the Dam from a carbon that they shechted, and there's a lot of blood, and there wasn't enough room in one cup, so he used the second cup. But when he came to do Hazar, he only used the Dam from one cup, so Rapapa holds, there's a man, the Omer, that says that the second cup, although it was never used, it's considered Shrayim. You know why? Because you have two cups. Both are equally fine. You only need to use one. So since both are equally fine, even the cup that wasn't used is considered Shrayim. Avalhai, in our situation, the boiling of mace of loy matzayov, as the Gemara began the shtickle Gemara, that the cup that has the mixed up blood, we're not going to use. Why use it? That is considered dochui and doesn't get poured on the Yisrael Mizbeach. Amalei Rav Huna b'Rei de Rishul l'Rapapa and the Rabba. One can argue just the opposite and say, I feel a man da'am makais echer oisach averi dochui. Even according to Mandom that says that if you had two cups and you used one and you didn't use the other one, so the second one is not considered Shrayim, it's considered Dochui. You know why it's considered Dochui? Hani Mili, the Dachi B'Yadayim. You made a choice. It was a conscientious choice. I have two cups. One cup I decided to use and one cup I decided not to use. So I made a conscientious decision not to use it. So it's considered Dochui. In our case, it wasn't a conscientious decision. I didn't have a choice. The Gemara told me I can't use it. That's not called Dochui, that's called Shrayim. The Tanya, as the Pasuk says, Lamal, as the Braisa teaches us, the Pasukim teach us, the Pasuk says, by the Chattis HaSor HaNosi, Vestoma Yishbarach LeYisoyed HaMizbeach, you should pour it to the Yisoyed HaMizbeach, Ulamatu Hoimer, by the Chattis brought by a Yochid, it says, that's called Dama Yishbarach. So one place it says the word kol, all, and one place it doesn't say the word kol. What does it teach us? It teaches us the Braisa. Menayin l'chatas shekibol Dama ba'arba koisis. If you had the chatas in four cups, v'nos mezachas, or mezachas, that means you had four cups of blood, and you use every cup for a different corner of the mezbeach. You have to sprinkle the blood on four corners, so every cup you used, there the halach is, Shekul nishpach on your side. How do we know they're all poured on each side? Tamalam is called the Yishbach. Yos Yochel, I would think, I feel nosim avim atonis ma'achs mehen, that I chose to do all of the hazors from one cup, and the other three cups were never used at all. What's the halacha? Tamalayim v'stama yishbach. Hu nishbach liyisoyd? What's left in the cup that I used for hazor, the leftovers in that cup are poured on the yisoyd. V'hein nishbach l'amba. Those three, since I conscientiously decided not to use them, they're called dochi. Rav Elazar of Shimon Aymer, he disagrees. Menayin lechatish kivul dam ba'arba kaisis. That if you took the dam in four kaisis, v'nosin avim atonis ma'achim mehen, you used only one cup. The other three cups I didn't use at all, and it was my conscientious decision. Still, the halacha is, according to the Blazer of Shimon, shekul nishbach on the side. How do I know? Because it says, tamalam v'es kol dam yishbach. Even the blood that I could have used, and I chose not to use, I still have to pour to the side. Ask the Gemara, but there's a pasuk that says v'es dam yishbach, which seems to teach us that there is some dam that I don't pour on the side. What case is that pasuk teaching us that the dam is not poured to the yisoid? Even though Rabbi Elazar of Shimon holds that if I have four cups and I did all of the hazars from one and I didn't use the three other cups at all, still the halacha is that those three cups full of blood is poured on the yisoid. That's because those were cups of blood that could have been used. But the blood that was left in the neck, that blood never gets poured to the yisoid. So some of Farshim explain why not. Because the blood that's left in the neck is considered dam hatamtzis. And we learned that the only blood we pour to the yisoid is dam hanefesh. This is called dam hatamtzis, is not poured to the yisoid. The Megillat Tavit has a beautiful explanation. He says the only time there's a requirement to pour blood to the yisoid is dam that was properly accepted, was miskabel in a kli sharis. The blood that was left in the neck was never miskabel but kli sharis. Blood that was never miskabel but kli sharis, I don't pour to the yisoid. Then we learned in the Mishnah, ir of dam apar l'toich dam asor. They mixed together the dam apar and the dam asor and put it on the corners. And then after they mixed this blood together, they took that blood and put it on the corners of the Mizbeach. So the way the Mefarshim explain, everybody agrees that the Dam HaPar and Dam HaSar will have to be mixed together before we put it on the surface of the Mizbeach HaPnimi. That is not optional. The question here is, if the Dam HaPar and Dam HaSar have to also be mixed together before you put it on the Kronos, which we're going to see is a machlokes, says the Chazon Ish. Even the man the armor that teaches us that you're supposed to mix it will agree that if you didn't mix it and you applied them separately, but the evidence acceptable. And as we explained when we learned the Mishnah, we'll talk about it for one more moment. The Mishnah says that we pour the Dam HaPar into the Dam HaSoyer. Why is it that way? So the Tosfos Yeshanim says, because there's more Dam HaPar, the Dam HaSoyer, and it's heavier, so you mix the heavier into the lighter. The other Mefarshim explain, who brought the Dam HaPar? The Kahanim. Who brought the Dam HaSoyer? The Yisraelim. That even though the Kahanim and Yisraelim had two separate tracks, at the end, what's required is Achdus, that the Dam HaPar and the Dam HaSoyer come together. And Ramei Shapiro takes that thought a step further. He says, how does it work? It's the Dam HaPar, which represents the Kahanim, should go to the Dam HaSar to represent the Yisraelim. It shouldn't be that the Kahanim, the leaders of Klal Yisrael, say, okay, you want Achdus? Let the Yisraelim come to us. It's the Gedolim that should go down to the rest of the nation. At the end of the Avodah of Yom Kippur, what is what's required? That there should be this Arif, that Klal Yisrael should come together. And that's why when you'll say the Avodah of Mitzvah Shem on Yom Kippur, you'll see that there's one word, very important word, that's added before the Machzor teaches us this part. It says, Sos. The Kohen Gadol, when he did this mixing, he was happy. What's happy? When Klal Yisrael is together, Sos. The Klal Yisrael, the Kohen Gadol is Sos. There's a very beautiful verse from the Satmar Rebbe. He says, on Monday and Thursday, when we lane, after Kriyas HaTorah, we say Yehi Ratzon. Say a number of Yehi Ratzons. Then what's the last thing we say? Chayna Kabes Yisrael and Sunu Mitzar B'Shivya. Very appropriate. Hamakim Yirachem Aleihem. So he asks, how come all the other chapters begin with the word Yehi Ratzon? And Chayna Kabes Yisrael doesn't begin with Yehi Ratzon. Why not? So he says, when we're in a situation, when we're in a matzav of Achenu Beis Yisrael, that all Yidden are davening for each other, that all Jews are together, we don't have to say Yehi Ratzon. It's already an Eis Ratzon. That is the biggest Eis Ratzon, when Klal Yisrael is Achenu Beis Yisrael, when we're Be'achdus. Says the Gemara, Tanan, our Mishnah goes, command the Amma Mavrim L'Kronis, that before we put the dam on the corners of the Mizbech HaPnimi, we mix the dam together. Ditmar, Rabbi Yosha, Rabbi Yonason, the first one we'll speak about, Rabbi Yosha, Rabbi Yonason, with Hanoim. Usually, we don't use the word itmar by machloikis tanoim. So they explain, since this machloikis is not found in any brisa or mishnah, so the Gemara uses the word itmar even for machloikis tanoim. Charam ma'avim, one says that they are mixed together, and one man dormant says ein ma'avim. Testayim, says the Gemara, so I don't know who holds what. Says the Gemara, I'll prove to you, there are yarech shio hud amma ma'avim. Domer, afgav the likes of yachtov, commanding of Yacht of Dami. So we have to give us somewhat of an introduction. There's a Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin. The Pasuk says, Ish Ashir Kalal as Ovivis Eimai. Says Rabbi Yoshia, if I learned this Pasuk simply, I would say that a person is not Mechuyiv for cursing his parents, Chas V'Shalom, only as Ovivis Eimai, if he cursed both parents. Why isn't that the halacha? So Rabbi Yoshia says, because the Pasuk says Kilel next to the word Aviv, and the Pasuk uses the word Kilel next to the word Imai, that's how I know that you're chayif, even if you curse them separately. But otherwise, I would say that they need to be together. Why? Because Rabbi Yoshia says, wherever it says S or Vav, it means to connect, even though it doesn't use the word Yachtov together. Here it says, V'lokach midama par midama sor. So according to Rabbi Yoshia, that means you should take them together. Because even though it doesn't use the word Yachtov, Rabbi Yoshia says that the word Yachtov is not necessary. Rabbi Yonason says that it has to say Yachtov. And if the Torah doesn't use the word Yachtov, it doesn't mean together. So now, if we're saying that you mix the Dama Parah and Dama Sar, even though the Torah doesn't use the word Yachtov, all the Torah says is V'lokach midama parah midama sar, it must be that we're going like Rabbi Yoshia, that you do things together even without the word Yachtov. Testayim, again, Rabbi Yeshu Dama Ma'arvim, Dama, he's the man Dama throughout Shas, that says, Afgav the light Siv Yachtov, commanded Siv Yachtov Dami. Answers the Gemara, we're not locked into that. Afil Tem Rabbi Yosson who? Shani Hochi, the Siv Achas. Since the Torah uses the word Achas, so Rabbi Yeshu will say that they can be done separately. That means, even though normally Rabbi Yeshu does not require Yachtov, here, to make me together, here, since the Torah uses the word yacht, achas, that means to separate them. Says the Gemara, Tanya deloy kishnuyin. But I'm going to show you that that's not the right way, and the Troishia that holds that they're mixed together, Rabbi Yonason not. Because it says, Tzalokim medam apam medam asar, shiyem uravim. Divrei, Rabbi Yonason. Rabbi Yonason clearly says they're mixed together. Rabbi Yonason, Omer, mazab in zeb afnei atzmai, zeb afnei atzmai. Omer, Rabbi Yonason, veloy kva nemachas. Rabbi Yonason says to Rabbi Yonason, how could you say that they're mixed together, it says achas, that they're kept separately, it says achas, amalei Rabbi Yonason, v'alekva nemen midama par midama sar, which would indicate they're kept separately, in keilam and amachas, so according to Rabbi Yonason, what does the achas teach us? Par machas b'shona, loimelach achas v'lo shtayim, you do it only once, not twice. Midama par achas v'lo shtayim, midama achas v'lo shtayim v'lo midama par, achas v'lo shtayim midama sar. So what's the Gemara teaching us? The Gemara is teaching us that the word achas, according to Rabbi Yoshia, is the word that teaches us that they should be done together. And according to Rabbi Yonason, the word achas teaches us that we only do it once, not twice. So the first question is, why do we need a pasuk to teach us that it's done once, not twice? Where do we ever find that we do something twice? You do it once, you do it right. So Mefarshim explained, Rishonim answer, that the pasuk is teaching us that even a part of the blood got spilled out, we continue where it got spilled out, and we don't start from the beginning. That's what the Achzul Eshtayim. But the stipe, let's just finish the Gemara, and then we'll say it's stipler. Tanya Idach, V'lokum Adam Apam Adam Asar, Shemiravim zebezeh. Ati oim shemiravim zebezeh. Do we mix them? Or ain alam zeh v'afnei atzmai zeh v'afnei atzmai? Each one separately. Tamaloyim achas. Since the Torah used the word achas and stama stam brisa goes like Reb Oishia, so it's a proof that they're mixed together. Ask the stipler, why does Reb Oishia need the word achas? According to Reb Oishia, when the Torah says two things together, it's automatically included, right? So even without the achas, they're together. Why do I need a separate pasuk? Says the stipler. The pasuk that Reb Oishia was talking about an avera. The pasuk that we're talking about here is about what they're talking about, what you're not supposed to do. This pasuk is talking about what you are supposed to do. Perhaps when it comes to doing an avera, the Torah tells us that you're not over the avera until you did it all of the avera. That's why we have to have a limit that you chayiv even for each parent separately. Here we're talking about what you are supposed to do. Perhaps what you're supposed to do, do each thing separately. And therefore, we can't bring a proof from the pasuk of Ov V'Imoy. We have to have a separate pasuk of Achas to teach us the Dhamma Par and the Dhamma Sor, according to Rav Oishia, were mixed together.